Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Again, this is the Rap Soul Podcast. This is the intersection where we have a conversation about artists from the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s. Simply put, this is the best music podcast that you've never heard until right now. Again, I want to thank you all for tapping in as you do each and every week. Thank you for watching on YouTube, for those of you who watch on YouTube as well. On this episode, what I want to talk about is some of the hip hop artists that we've lost along the way. Now, if you've been following hip hop for any amount of time, you know that hip hop is over 50 years old. In fact, in a couple of months at the time of this recording, hip hop will be turning 52. And naturally, you're going to have people that have really have come and gone in that span of time. I mean, it's a part of life. It's a part of evolution. That being said, I wanted to take a second just to talk about some of the ones that we lost along the way. Now, what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to go into how they passed away, because at this point, if we're being honest, when people pass, I think a lot of times people want to know how they passed or why they passed. I mean, they just passed. And honestly, it was their time to go, I guess, based on what God has in store for all of us. That being said, what I wanted to do was to simply speak on a few artists and then talk about either my favorite song or my favorite memory, or the memory that stands out about this particular artist. And these are no particular order. So let's get to it. First up, Heavy D. Heavy D from Heavy D and the Boys. Heavy D, man, probably one of my favorite artists growing up. My most memorable time or memory of Heavy D really was Heavy D was at a concert, and he was the headline for a concert, and that concert actually happened to be in my hometown of Florence, South Carolina, at Wilson High School. I want to say I was in eighth grade, so I don't even think I had made it to Wilson High School yet. But Heavy D came to my hometown. He was in a stretch limousine, he and the boys. And I want to say they may have performed three songs. The hit at the time was Mr. Big Stuff. But been a fan of Hev's for a long time. And that memory always stands out. And honestly, that was my first concert that I'd ever attended, first rap concert. So it was great seeing Heavy D and the boys right there live on stage, where you could actually touch them in our high school auditorium. Not many artists can say that they performed in my hometown at Wilson High School. But Heavy D was, a memorable one for that for me. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the tickets were like $5. Tickets were dirt cheap, but it felt good to have a rap star. And at the time, like I said, Mr. Big Stuff was his hit. So he went on to make, you know, many more hits. And, you know, I was a fan before then, but I definitely was a fan after that night. Number two, Eric Eazy-E Wright. Eazy-E, man, probably my most memorable thing about Eazy-E was that Eazy-E put the city of Compton on the map. And what's interesting is, like, I think I first heard Eazy-E in 87, and then his debut album Easy Does It came out in 1988. But he would talk about this place called Compton, and you got to understand, folks, like, there was no type of internet back in 1987 or 1988. And I was in high school at the time. I was a freshman. Like, I didn't know anything. So it was really about him saying Compton. Compton to me was almost like this fictional place. I don't even know if initially when he said Compton that I knew it was a suburb of Los Angeles. But he made Compton sound so crazy and so wild and so violent. You know, and we didn't know anything about Bloods and Crips or anything like that. But he basically said he shot and killed people, and you know, dope was sold and girls were sold, and you know, it was a time. It sounded like a crazy place to be. But he literally and figuratively, from a hip hop perspective, for me, put Compton on the map, and obviously paved the way for not only a bunch of MCs to come through Compton, but from Los Angeles and the greater Los Angeles area. So, Godfather West Coast hip hop, what I would call him, probably he and Ice-T alongside each other. But Eazy-E for me, was and is Compton. And, yeah, that's my memory of Eazy-E just really putting Compton on the map. You know, they famously said in the song, you know, Compton, Michigan. And again, we didn't know where I had no clue. I knew it was in California. I didn't know where it was. And Compton, as I got to be older, you know, there are certain parts of Compton that really lived up to what he was talking about. It wasn't like it was some fictional place. It was some real stuff going there. But Compton also had a side that I think musically they painted a picture that it looked one way and Compton looked a totally different way, a very suburbanite type area, for some, not all. But yeah, shout out to Compton. Number three, Fife Dawg from A Tribe Called Quest. Oh man, Fife is one of my favorites, man, growing up. Probably my favorite memory of Fife was his performance on Buggin' Out. Now, if you're familiar with the Tribe Called Quest, you know their first album was dope. It was crazy. But Fife, his presence wasn't really felt on that album. I mean, let's just be honest. That album was really about Q-Tip and the emergence of the group as a Tribe Called Quest. Fife wasn't as present or as strong on that album as he was on their second album, The Low End Theory. The Low End Theory comes on, and I think Buggin' Out is the second song in the album. And he starts off, microphone check, 1, 2, what is this? The 5-foot assassin with the roughneck business. I float like gravity, never had a cavity. Got more rhymes than the Warners got family. And I was like, yo, who is this? I mean, it was all, it literally, if you heard the first album and then you heard the second album and you heard Fife on the second song called Buggin' Out, it sounds like it's two different people. I mean, like he was bananas on that album and he carried that on, and you know, on Tribe's discography and even on his solo efforts as well. Big fan of the 5-footer, man. Rest in peace, Fife Dawg. Number four, Craig Mack. Craig Mack, man, my most memorable thing about Craig Mack was Flavor in Your Ear. Flavor in Your Ear was everywhere. And it's interesting because if memory serves me correct, Craig Mack was going to be and was subsequently the first artist to be promoted on Bad Boy. Well, a strange thing happened. As Craig Mack's Flavor in Your Ear blew up, subsequently Biggie was blowing up and bubbling up as well. And for whatever reason, Craig Mack's first album, Project Funk the World, and Biggie's Ready to Die both came out in the same year. Craig Mack came out first. I want to say, I think it was April of 1994. And I think Biggie was September of 1994, if I'm not mistaken. Forgive me if I'm wrong, because I didn't look it up. I'm just going off the top of my head as to when I bought those albums. But yeah, I mean, like Biggie just really took off as a superstar and Craig Mack was kind of, you know, Puff kind of left him behind it, really. And then they did the Flavor in Your Ear remix, and you know, everybody was on it, and everybody knows all of everybody else's verses except his, and it was his song, and it was kind of crazy, but I think that was a dope song. It was a really, really good album, Project Funk the World. If you haven't heard it, go check it out, kids. It is a really, really good album. Rest in peace, Craig Mack. Number five, again, these are no particular order. Prodigy. Oh man, first time I heard Shook Ones, man, I was like, yo, this is crazy. I mean, like Shook Ones Part 2, excuse me. To All My Killers and the $100 Billers. when that comes on, like Prodigy just really, between the beat and the sound, you know, he really takes us on a journey in that particular song. And in fact, the whole album, The Infamous. Fortunately for me, I didn't hear Mobb Deep's first album, Juvenile Hell. I heard it was okay. I never heard any great things about it. I heard it was just okay. So for me, my introduction to Prodigy was, you know, their second album, The Infamous. And listen, Prodigy did not disappoint. So shout out to Prodigy. But my most memorable memory of Prodigy was hearing that verse, Shook Ones Part 2, on The Infamous album. Number six, Big L. Oh, man, Big L. Harlem's own Big L. Big L was special. I mean, he was a lyricist. Big L, my memory from Big L probably was the freestyle that he did on Stretch and Bobbito's radio show. And he had a young, lesser known MC with him, a Brooklynite by the name of Sean Carter, who would later become Jay-Z. And they referred to him as Jay-Z on the freestyle. So the way that it goes is Stretch and Bobbito have this college radio station, and all of the dope rappers come up there and they get a chance to rap and everything like that. And it's legendary. And I remember hearing about it even when I was in college at South Carolina State University in Orangeburg, South Carolina. But I couldn't hear it. So it wasn't until I heard it on a tape many, many years later. I want to say that the freestyle happened in 1995, if I'm not mistaken. So Jay-Z's Reasonable Doubt had not come out just yet. And so it's Big L and Jay-Z, and they both take turns freestyling. Big L freestyles one, and then Jay-Z comes behind him, and then Big L goes again. Now, Jay-Z's freestyle was dope. Don't get me wrong. It was incredible. But the thing that always stood out to me about this particular freestyle is that nobody ever mentions how Big L washes Jay-Z on this freestyle. And now, of course, the whole Avengers may tell you differently, but Big L crushed Jay-Z. And I don't know skills wise where he was as far as in his ascension, as far as Jay-Z was concerned. But no, Big L killed it. And that's the thing that I'll always remember about Big L, that freestyle on Stretch and Bobbito's show. Crazy. Again, Jay-Z did his thing, but he wasn't touching Big L at all. Next up, number seven, Nate D-O-double-G. That's right, Nate Dogg, famous crooner from Death Row Records. There's a couple. I mean, Nate Dogg was the hook guy. Like, there's probably when it comes to rap hooks, there's Nate Dogg, TJ Swan, and everybody else. Both rest in peace to Nate Dogg as well as TJ Swan. But yeah, he was the hook king, particularly in the 90s and the 2000s. Two songs in particular, Ain't No Fun. I mean, the intro to Ain't No Fun, the first verse, I'm not going to sing it for you. You know what it is. It is crazy. It is misogynistic. It is sexist. It is dope as hell. And then the hook on Regulate. Well, actually him singing on Regulate with Warren G. Singing, I laid all them busters down. I let my gat explode. That still cracks me up to this day. I mean, I laid all them busters down. I let my gat explode. I don't know if you could ever sing about murdering somebody and make it sound so funny and so cool. It was just, I literally chuckle every time I hear that on that song. So yeah, rest in peace to Big Nate Dogg. Number eight, Left Eye from TLC. Left Eye was, she was special, man. She was special. She did a lot of memorable things. If you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast, hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting, So sit back, relax, join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before, from nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between. The 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul Podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shaped the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast and enjoy the vibes. Probably the thing that stands out to me when I think about Left Eye is like the first couple of times I saw her in public, as far as like TLC was on their press run for the first album. And I remember them coming on MTV and being interviewed, and she had on this big baggy t-shirt, big baggy like parachute pants, and she had condoms everywhere, and she was preaching safe sex. And I want to say this was like 92, 93. So that was a big deal, because we were coming on the heels of, you know, Magic Johnson acquiring HIV and going public with it. And, you know, that was a status thing, really, for her to say, hey, because that was one of the first things that the reporters asked her, like, why do you have these condoms all over your shirt and your pants? And she was like, it's about safe sex. So Left Eye was definitely memorable, definitely gone, but not forgotten. Number nine, Chad Butler, a.k.a. one half of UGK, Pimp C. Man, listen, I love Pimp C. Pimp C was so dope to me, man. I still love listening to his music. Probably my most memorable thing about Pimp C is just two things, really. Him on the hook for Pocket Full of Stones. I mean, like, once I heard that for the first time, I want to say that was like 92, in his Southern country Texas draw, I got a pocket full of stones and they won't leave my ass alone. I can't do it like Pimp C, obviously. But yeah, Pimp C on that, and Big Pimpin'. Not only his verse on Big Pimpin', but the story behind the song Big Pimpin' that he and UGK member Bun B did with Jay-Z. And legend has it, and the story's been told several times, that you know, Bun had to convince, basically had to twist Pimp C's arm to even do the song with Jay-Z, because he didn't want to do the song. And then when it came time to shoot the video, they were supposed to be going to, like, I think Trinidad to shoot the video at Carnival or something like that. And Pimp C does not show up for the video. Instead, Pimp C goes to Miami and shoots his part of the video in Miami. And he shows up with a brand new Mercedes Benz and a black mink coat in the summertime in Miami, which, you know, was crazy, but that's Pimp C. You know what I'm saying? So I don't even know, to be honest, and I guess that probably would be a better question for Jay-Z. I don't even know if Pimp C ever met Jay-Z. I just, the story behind it and the underlying story to me is like, Pimp C probably just ain't rock with Jay-Z like that. He's like, okay, I'll do this song, but I'm doing it just because you asked me, but not because I like this dude or I rock with him. Do I know that for sure? I don't know, but, you know, I still find that interesting that they had to twist his arm to do the song. He never shows up for the video. He only goes to Miami. And again, I don't know, if you watch the Big Pimpin' video, you never see Jay-Z and Pimp C in the same shoot. So I'm assuming that they never met. I could be wrong, but nonetheless, man, shout out to Pimp C. Rest in peace, Chad Butler. Number 10. The Old Dirty Bastard, a.k.a. Dirk McGirt, ODB from Wu-Tang Clan. Man, I've said it before and I'll say it again for those of you who don't know, ODB is my favorite member of Wu-Tang. Not the best, but the favorite. My favorite moment from ODB, my most memorable moment from ODB, was ODB bum rushing the stage at the Grammys. That will never get old to me. It will forever be funny. I laughed the night that it happened. I have continued to laugh all of these years. ODB, he meant well. He really, really and truly meant well, but he thought they should have won. As boring as the Grammys are these days, I think more people should bum rush the stage. Maybe I might tune in again. Shout out to the legendary Russell Jones, a.k.a. ODB. Next up, again, these are in no particular order. Number 11, I call him the greatest producer of all time, James DeWitt Yancey, a.k.a. J. Dilla. If you're watching on YouTube, you see my book, Dilla Time, which I read and have the audio book for. J.D., man, there's a lot that I could say about J. Dilla, and it still would be hard for me to put it into words. I am totally engulfed and enamored in his music. Probably my favorite memory from J. Dilla was hearing Climax for the first time. I heard it on a loop and I just had a maybe like a 30 second loop of the song, and I played the loop continuously like for an hour. I could not stop playing it. And well, maybe the loop was a minute, but I played that over and over and over again because that's all that I had, and I didn't even have the full song. I found it online, and the funny thing is I'd heard some of his music before. And I think I may have heard a Slum Village track or two before that, but I was hooked. Like, I was hooked. I was hooked. I was hooked. Rest in peace, J. Dilla. There will be more episodes talking about J. Dilla and his music. But Climax really hooked me as a fan. Number 12, Jam Master Jay. JMJ, the third member of the legendary hip-hop group, Hall of Fame hip-hop group Run DMC. Jay didn't say much. Probably my favorite memory was probably my first memory was Run DMC's debut album, which I bought the tape in 1984 on track. It was track three. It was called Jam Master Jay, and they just let him get busy. They rapped over his scratches and everything, and what can I say, man? Rest in peace, Jam Master Jay. Love it. I even loved him when he did the song Pause a little bit further in their discography. That was the first, or at least one of the first times I can remember him rapping on a track. He wasn't even bad at rapping, actually. But yeah, definitely rest in peace, JMJ, Jam Master Jay. Number 13, Big Pun. Man, Pun. Pun was so super talented. I don't know if people really understood how talented Pun was. He was a big guy, of course, but that dude could rap his face off. Probably my favorite or most memorable Pun memory wasn't even him rapping. It was a skit. It was a skit on the first album. It was called Packing the Mac in the Back of the Act. Say that 10 times. But it was... I'm not going to spoil the skit for you. Go listen to the skit, Big Pun, Packing the Mac in the Back of the Act. The skit is still funny to this day. Rest in peace, Big Pun. Obviously, it goes without repeating. Number 14, Tupac Shakur. Man, Pac, I love Pac. Love Pac. Still listen to Pac's music to this day. Well, most of these people that I've mentioned already, I've still listened to this day. Pac was incredible. Pac was so dope, man, on so many levels. He was obviously a very accomplished rapper, very accomplished poet, and a very good actor as well. My favorite memory of Pac is probably my favorite song from Pac, and that's Pain, which was on the Above the Rim soundtrack. I love that joint, man. Still love it to this day, still play it a lot. It is my favorite Pac song. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's his best song, but it's my favorite song. Number 15, Nipsey Hussle. Man, Nip. Oh, man. I miss that guy, man. Nipsey Hussle is one of the few people I think that when you listen to his interviews. Like, if you ever pull up a Nipsey Hussle interview on YouTube, I guarantee you, if you watch just one clip, you'll watch the next interview. Very influential, very charismatic, very prophetic, really, in a lot of ways. My favorite memory from Nipsey Hussle was hearing his final album, Victory Lap, for the first time, or the first couple of times that I heard it. And I mentioned this before, and there'll be some more episodes, there'll be a couple of more episodes as far as this podcast about Nipsey Hussle and his music. But one of the things that stood out about Victory Lap was when I heard it for the first couple of times, I kept saying, why does this album sound so different? This album, that album didn't sound sonically like I thought it probably would have sounded. It didn't feel the same. And keep in mind, he was still alive at the time. And so I was like, man, why does this album sound the way that it does? And then I went back, because I had not heard all of his discography, you know, until after he passed. And I went back and started listening to some of his other albums, some of the mixtapes, and I was able to put the pieces together. That album, Victory Lap, was a culmination of the sounds that he had earlier, and it sounded so much more mature, more grown, more sophisticated. And that's why the album sounds as polished as it was. Not to say that his other albums, if you go back to Crenshaw or Bullets Ain't Got No Name, Volume 1 and 2, that they don't sound professional. They are incredible pieces of work. But Victory Lap was the culmination, and that's why it sounds the way that it does. If you haven't heard Nipsey Hussle's discography, go back and listen. Pick it out. Pick 10 songs. I mean, like, the guy's incredible. I like I said, there'll be more. I don't want to get into too much, because there's definitely going to be more coverage as far as Nipsey Hussle is concerned right here on the Rap Soul Podcast. And last but not least, my man Biggie Smalls. Christopher Wallace. Man, my favorite memory is my first memory of Biggie. Dolly My Baby with Supercat. That was the song. I famously told the story on a couple of episodes, and I'll tell it here again real quick. I was at South Carolina State University, and I remember my boy Bruce had the cassette single, the Dolly My Baby cassette single, and he let me hold it while we were on the bus. We were headed for a road trip to play a game, and I remember playing it, and I didn't know who the guy was, who the last guy was that was rapping, but he sounded better than everybody else ahead of him. And I was like, yo, who is this dude? And I don't even remember if his name was actually on the tape. And I just kept playing it and playing it and playing it. And I remember after the game, I kept the tape. I was supposed to give it back to Bruce. And so we ride back to campus, and I see him the next day, and he's like, yo, you still got my tape? I was like, yeah, I got it. I'll bring it to you at practice. And I never brought it. And then so like a couple of days later, he asked me for the tape. And I was like, okay, it's in the dorm. I'll bring it. And I never brought the tape. And I just, again, we didn't have the internet. So I started trying to find this guy, the Notorious B.I.G., a.k.a. Biggie Smalls. I started trying to find his music. And then I got, a DJ Clue tape. And he was on the Clue tape. And then the song was Party and Bullshit. And after that, I was hooked. I was like, yo, this dude is crazy. It is. Like, did I think he was going to be one of the greatest MCs of all time? No, nobody could have thought that. But I was hooked on his music, and has been hooked ever since, man. Rest in peace, Christopher Wallace, the Notorious B.I.G. I want to thank you all for tuning in. This concludes this edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. We drop new episodes every Monday at midnight. We're going to start soon dropping new episodes on Fridays as well. So tune in to that. Make sure that you subscribe. Make sure that you share this podcast with a friend or a family member who enjoys music as much as you do. Again, this is the Rap Soul Podcast. This is the intersection where we have discussions about music and artists from the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s. This is the best music podcast that you've never heard in your life until right now. You just heard it. If you want to follow us on social media, hit us up, Rap Soul Podcast across the board, 12 Kyle Podcast, as well as 12 Kyle across all social media platforms. Also, if you want to contribute to us financially, hit us up on Cash App, $TWELVEKYLE. Again, that's going to do it for me. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. I'll catch you guys next time. 5,000. Cheer.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of the 12 Kyle Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure that you hit the subscribe button and share this podcast with a friend who needs the 12 Kyle Podcast in their life. Every listen, every download, and every share helps us grow. Thanks for being a part of the 12 Kyle Podcast community. We appreciate your support. We will catch you next time. 5,000.